my slice of paradise. Congregation of our Lord and Savior, many of us came here to this fair land of New Zealand as immigrants, by boat or by plane. Those of us who came looking for a better life. I certainly did. Not as crowded as the United Kingdom, not as crowded as Europe. More opportunity, less conflict, a cleaner, greener place to live. In the 50s, 60s and 70s in particular, many people came here looking for a slice of heaven on earth. That goal was captured in Austin Mitchell's satirical book about New Zealand, The Half-Gallon, Quarter-Acre Pavlova Paradise. There's a long history in the world of people looking for a better place to call home. Our spiritual ancestor Abraham, for example, was looking for a land of promise, a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. And yet Abraham, think about it, never found that paradise on this earth. He, together with all those who have gone to be with the Lord, died in faith, I'm quoting from Hebrews 11, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. When the land promised to Abraham was finally captured and occupied under the command of Joshua by the hand of the Lord, the tribe of Levi did not receive any allotment in the land, but the Lord himself was to be their portion or their inheritance, Deuteronomy 10:9. This is also true for the psalmist in Psalm 119, who says in verse 57, "The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words." The portion word comes from the idea of dividing up the booty from a victorious conquest. It is a share in the property of the land that's been conquered. As when the conquest of Canaan took place and the promised land, there was a share of territory, a piece of real estate that was bequested to those who had a portion in it. And some have suggested that the writer of this Psalm 119 was a Levite, one of those who had been set apart for special service to the Lord. Whoever he was, this psalm, whilst it's his psalm, is also our psalm in the scripture. Why? Because we are God's children by grace, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And so, beloved Christian, this afternoon, the Lord is your portion. He is your inheritance. He is, if I can put it this way, your slice of paradise today. So what does that mean as we live out our lives as strangers and exiles on this earth, waiting for the full realization of the paradise yet to come? The psalmist answers that question with these words, "I promise to keep your word," or your words. So let's see what that means under three headings this afternoon: paradise sought, paradise remembered, and paradise shared. Firstly, paradise sought. When I say the word paradise, what comes to your mind, I wonder? An island holiday with pristine beaches, warm seas, and no work pressure? Something of an illusion, perhaps. Something that doesn't ultimately satisfy. To look for paradise in this life, we need to look somewhere other than an exotic destination. The psalmist writes, "I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." The psalmist is seeking the face of God with his whole being. There's a real intensity here. I entreat your favor. When I think on your ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. There's a self-examination, a reflection, a change of direction to follow the ways of the Lord. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Paradise, congregation, is not sought through a change in outward circumstances, but through an inward change of mind and of heart. That is the way to find paradise in this earth. When a person like you or me comes to see that the real treasure, the only wealth of any value in this world is the Lord, then such a person is drawn to seek the only one who can satisfy. Jesus said it so well, didn't he? For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Paradise is found not with the feet going somewhere, you see, but with the heart being inclined toward the Lord. And so the essence of paradise is not a place at all. It's a person. What makes the New Jerusalem with its 12 gates with 12 pearls and its streets of gold such a beautiful paradise is not the wealth itself, but the presence of the Lord, the person of God, the person of the Lamb. Paradise is being with Jesus now and forever. The comforting reality of knowing that as we draw near to seek the Lord, it is because he has first sought us. We love because he first loved us. See, in this psalm, the words of the psalmist are very personal. The Lord is my portion, my portion. He's my inheritance. He's at my slice of paradise. He belongs to me as I belong to him. I have a part in him. I have a part of Christ. I share in his riches. This is what is represented, amongst other things, by the sacrament of Lord's Supper. And the taking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, physically becoming united with the physical elements as mirrored in the spiritual realm by a union with Christ. Abide in me and I abide in you. It's Jesus, of course, who secures our portion, our slice of paradise. He puts it this way in those well-known words in John 14, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so if you would seek paradise, and surely who would not, then you and I must seek the Lord with all our heart. Pleading that he would be gracious to you and give you what he has faithfully promised to all who seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. I think for most, all of us here this afternoon perhaps, we've looked to Jesus for help. So what then? Well, secondly, paradise remembered. Don't know about you, but we keep holiday snaps of places we've been. We've got some photos of our wedding anniversary that we had in Rarotonga, and that was a pretty pristine beach, as I remember. They're no longer in a photo album. They're on some album in Facebook. Beaches, palm trees, turquoise sea, submerged coral. Hard to believe sometimes that we were there when life gets busy and troubled and difficult. When you're a child in school and you've got bullies who give you a hard time. When you're a wife at home and you've got the demands of young children. Perhaps your husband or a wife who works in a job where there's very little satisfaction. Maybe a senior member who can't get out of home very much. This section of the psalm, the psalmist is trapped. He feels trapped. He's close to being held captive. He's almost a prisoner in his circumstances. He writes in verse 61, the cords of the wicked ensnare me. I do not forget your law. Cords and ropes in those days were used to trap people and animals, to drag them off or restrain them, to hold them bound, captive and enslaved. The word cords here also includes the idea of territory or portion. The enemy's land or domain is pressing in on me from every side. I'm like a besieged city that I'm under attack. We can experience that on this royal road to glory that we travel. But Jesus said, "Do not fear, those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. The greatest battle that I think we all face with attack and being besieged is not from without, but from within. The inward rebellion that still rises up in each one of us, which can result in sin that so easily entangles. Compromise, well, I'll take that favor in exchange for turning a blind eye. I'll just tell a small lie just to cover my tracks. It's only a little one, nobody will know. I'll click on that website, even though the resulting addiction is suffocating my spiritual life. We don't know what temptation threatened the psalmist as he wrote these words, but we know that he remembered his share in the Lord. He remembered his portion, his inheritance. He remembers that he has a slice of paradise. "But I have not forgotten your law," he writes. He can't sleep. He's concerned over the wicked who are entrapping him, but thoughts of his heavenly wealth awaken him. He doesn't lie awake in trouble. "At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and are doing. I remember you in the midst of all that's going on. I remember your goodness. I remember your righteousness. I remember Christ and the portion that I have in him. I remember that he died for me so that I would not be entangled and ensnared in the cords of sin and death." I spoke about Richard Wurmbrand this morning, the Romanian Christian. He wrote, "I've seen Christians in communist prisons with 50 pounds of chains on their feet, tortured with red-hot pokers, in whose throats spoonfuls of salt had been forced, being afterward kept without water, starving, whipped, suffering from cold, and in the midst of it, praying with fervor for their communist captors. This is," he writes, "humanly inexplicable. It is the love of Christ which was poured out in our hearts." To remember the Lord and the portion that we have in him. That's part of what we do when we celebrate Lord's Supper. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You remember the paradise, the slice of paradise that the Lord has purchased for you. And finally, paradise shared. It was Daniel Defoe who wrote a book on the 25th of April, 1719, with, I think, one of the very longest titles of any book I've ever come across. You might well know the book. Here's the title: "The Life and Strange, Surprising Adventures of Robinson Crusoe of York, Mariner, who lived 28 years all alone on an uninhabited island on the coast of America near the mouth of the great river of Orinoco, having been cast on shore by shipwreck, wherein all the men perished but himself." That's quite a title. Robinson Crusoe, alone on a beautiful, pristine desert island, stranded and marooned. Lonely until, of course, he meets Man Friday, but that comes later. Paradise, you see, is not paradise at all if it's not shared. Our psalmist knows this. He writes in verse 63, "I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts." We could almost say in the terminology of the New Testament this morning, "I am in fellowship with all who fear you." A companion here implies a likeness of character, being united and joined together with others who also fear the Lord, who worship him and honor and reverence him as God. That is very much to say that a companion is someone with whom you can enjoy that fellowship in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And so I can say this morning, or rather this afternoon, by God's grace, that the Lord is my portion. And I can say by God's grace, the Lord is our portion. We share in this inheritance together. Why? Because we are God's children And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Romans 8:17. When we leave this earth, that we will be glorified. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Those last words. Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. To be saved is to have a part of Christ and of his coming kingdom. A new Eden in the new heavens and new earth. And at Lord's Supper today, we come together as companions, as those who share in this inheritance. We bear by God's grace a likeness of character, the character of Christ being formed in us, imperfectly and yet as a work of grace by degrees. We come as a community together enjoying paradise here. Paradise here, waiting for the Lord and proclaiming his death until he comes. We're joined by faith with God's people everywhere. And the psalmist expresses this kingdom truth with these words in verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Here, at the Lord's Supper table, God is teaching us about paradise lost, paradise recovered, and paradise secured. In the beginning, we know this earth was very good. Paradise was lost when Adam rejected God's rule. Suffering and death resulted. But God sent his Son to die in the place of sinners like you and me. He was raised to new life. New life in Christ begins on this earth. By faith in Christ, he lives in God's child and that child in him. Christ, we know, is coming to judge the living and the dead. When paradise will be restored, a heavenly city whose designer and builder is God, and Christ the Lamb will be in the midst of this new Jerusalem. And as we said earlier, that presence of God and of the Lamb is what makes the new heavens and the new earth truly paradise. And so we proclaim the Lord's death this day until he comes to establish this paradise in him, of which we all have, by grace, a slice, a portion of the Lord himself. Amen.